Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why Blank lost.
Welcome back to Why Blank Lost. I'm David Bloomberg, and with me as always is my co-host Jessica Lewis.
Yes, I am here today, and I'm curious what you've brought with you.
Oh, I'm sorry. These are just all my advantages that I brought for the podcast.
And what exactly are those going to get you on this podcast?
Well, actually, I'm going to play one now.
Let me
see if I could find it.
Will it bring my voice back? Is that
no? It's called the Pony Advantage.
Wait, okay, what?
Yeah, it's because I'm using it to make you a little horse.
You can't make me laugh because it's not going to help. I apologize to everyone. So this is David Bloomberg's fault that I sound like
yes,
this.
Yes, I've played my pony advantage, and now Jessica can barely talk.
Oh, my gosh.
So that means she won't be able to disagree with me. So everything I say will be 100% right.
No.
Of course it is anyway.
Listen, if I have to lose my voice so I can disagree with you, that will happen.
Oh, great.
It's fine. Nice try. Maybe you can play one of your other advantages.
Yeah, hold on. Let me
and
see.
Take this it away entirely.
This is a really big advantage. I should see what that one does. Yeah, it's, you know.
Unfortunately, having so many advantages didn't really work out so well for Drea, did it?
Yeah, you know, we'll have to see. But as we go down that path, we'll be guided in comparing Drea's game to the rules for winning that I originally wrote way back after season one and have been updating ever since. We'll look at all the non-spoiler information available to us from what we saw in TV, interviews, social media, and secret scenes. Mm-hmm. Although, once again, the secret scenes, while fun, not terribly informative.
Really nothing.
Before we get to the part where we discuss things before we get to the rules, I want to mention that I was on the world's best and possibly only Beyond the Edge podcast with Rob and Jenny yesterday. Started watching the show because it seemed like it might possibly be interesting, and because former Chicago Bears superstar Mike Singletary was on it, I kept watching it because... Well,
you like to make TikToks.
Yes, that was actually about it. I have made at least one TikTok almost every week, I think, a couple sometimes. And so I believe that makes me the preeminent Beyond the Edge TikToker.
Oh, you probably are the only one making
yes,
the TikToks.
Yes, it may be. That may also be. I do think that the pinnacle of my viewing experience was being on the podcast to talk to Rob and Jenny. So I encourage everyone.
I'm sure it was. That's excellent. So, good for you. Look at you just making your rounds.
That's right.
Did you bring all of your advantages with you there, too?
I did not. You can't use advantages in Beyond the Edge, only on Survivor.
Oh, OK. Good to know. You know what? I remember a time when there were no advantages in Survivor.
I don't remember that time. That's too long.
Crazy.
You're like prehistoric.
It really is.
Era.
It's like old school, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Super old school.
Yeah. I might have a few things to say about that. I should have worn that t-shirt today.
Yeah, but you wore it last week.
Did I?
Well, within the last 2 weeks. I think it was last week.
But I know. I try to not repeat outfits.
That's
but
right.
I did
Me
have
too.
To repeat this t-shirt because this is our poster. So
that's
know.
Right. That's mm-hmm. right. Now, I, under all my advantages, I'm wearing the David's. And the reason for that, the explanation, is because it is a shirt about all the Davids playing all their advantages. So even though
your neck is going to be tired by the time this is done,
feel like Mr. T. You know, even though this is the Drea, not the David, but you know, still it works close enough. So we do have more than a few things to discuss before we get to the rules. This one seemed to have a lot of different topics. First, I need to go back to the math we discussed last week, because you kind of hit me out of the blue and asked me what the odds were of two people being safe both seasons on Do or Die.
Right.
And I did something an engineer should never do, which was trying to figure it out live off the cuff while being recorded.
Didn't work out for you.
No. Well, it didn't, because it was pointed out to me by several people that I said it was like 50-50 for someone to get it right. And that's technically incorrect. It's actually a
two-thirds chance. Did Voce jump in there?
No, no. It's actually a two-thirds chance to get it right if they know what they're doing and switch. But it's a one-third chance if they don't know. So if you average those out, it's 50-50, because you don't know whether they'll know or not. Yeah, see? So I was right. Ha.
Well, listen, I will say that the whole do or die thing, first off, needs to go away.
Needs to die?
It needs to die, yes. But I was thinking middle, and I should have. I was like, I'm going middle. I don't know why, but she went middle, and I'm glad that she stayed, obviously, because I love to see her in the game. But like, I'm glad she didn't switch and she stayed where her gut told her to go, considering everything that had happened previously when she didn't listen to her gut.
Yeah.
You know, and then right. she decided to. So, but yeah, I just, as far as the do or die twist is concerned, it's really frustrating, because I do think that. Maybe it was Mike that said, but somebody definitely said that all of these plans basically don't matter. And I'm about to cough. Right. I'm very sorry.
It's okay. So while Jessica is busy coughing, I will mention that the actual odds here for two people who didn't do the right thing either time, I believe, would be 1/3 multiplied by 1/3, or about an 11% chance in a vacuum. However, the whole question is skewed, actually, because we wouldn't even be talking about it if we hadn't seen it happen the first time.
Right.
So once the first time has occurred, it becomes just a straight 33% chance for it to happen again.
Yeah. And so, and the thing is next season, obviously the new players who are going to be coming on mm-hmm. have now seen this twist. And I can't imagine anyone is going to then participate in the immunity challenge knowing that this is what is going to potentially happen with the first person that goes out.
Yeah. Well, hopefully this, like we said, will die. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned that you also felt it was the middle, or whatever one Lindsay picked. Ricard talked about this on the recap podcast, and I think he may have been right in saying that Jeff may have been subconsciously and unintentionally signaling the players as to which box was which. Now this, again, see, we just educated you on math. Now I'm going to educate you on some other things. This is called the Clever Hans effect. And it can happen sometimes where people just, it's not even intentional. And this is one reason that, for example, scientific studies are double blinded, so that nobody can actually tip their hands. If the doctor doesn't know if he's giving you a placebo or a regular medicine, then he can't actually accidentally signal that to you.
Interesting.
So in this case, the problem is Jeff had to know which box was which, so he could show a skull box after the first pick.
Right.
So about the only way around it would have been, well, I guess there are two ways. One, for him to be more, to understand himself more and make sure not to do that. The other is for him to have no idea and to be like signaled by a producer who did know as to which box to open. I suspect that was a bit too complicated to go through for the show. And hopefully we'll never see it again. And it won't, therefore it won't be an issue in the future. But imagine how much we would have lost out, like you were just starting to say, on this great tribal council, if Jeff's stupid little twist game had knocked out Lindsay instead of there being an actual tribal council.
Right. But we need to go back. What did Jeff do that made her pick the middle box?
Oh, just Ricard mentioned that just the way he was motioning, that it looked like. Now, I didn't go back and verify, you know, Ricard said that this was what had happened. And, you know, that like when he said one box is safe, two boxes aren't, there was some hand waving that looked like he was kind of subconsciously indicating which one was safe.
Interesting.
Now, some people may say, and I actually saw this on Twitter, I think, some people may say, oh, well, he was doing it on purpose. Well, that doesn't make any sense because this is Jeff's game. He wants it to go off. He loves it when his twists happen. So the last thing he would want to do is purposely tell someone that they're safe, you know, which one to pick.
Right.
So,
but I do think that it's definitely lost any potential luster that it could have at this point, because now
it never really had any.
It never really had any. But I think that idea that Jeff was hoping to create with this has gone away at this point, because now everyone knows what it is, and all the players coming up are going to know what to expect. And I just don't see them actually participating. I really don't.
That would be so amazing. There was a lot of people asking that on Twitter. Like, what happens if only one person does it?
I would have loved to have seen that.
What happens if no people do it? I think the answer is if only one person does it, then they win immunity. I don't see how you can make them do or die when they literally just won.
Right.
And if nobody does it, then we all point and laugh and Jeff cries.
Mm-hmm.
Or more likely they cut it and they... say, oh, there was no challenge. Everybody's vulnerable or something like that.
Something. Yeah. It's definitely. And it really is. It's just so frustrating to see this particular episode had so much incredible strategy happening and discussions and really forward, like deep thinking about the game and options and ideas and plans. And then you could have it just all go away.
And I was certain anyone who saw me on Twitter, I was certain the whole show that Lindsay was going and this was all for naught.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad in some ways that I didn't look at the clock, because all you had to do was look at the clock.
Oh, I definitely looked at the clock and I'm like, okay, it's 8:47. We've got time.
Yeah. And I did not. So I was kind of glad I didn't. I didn't accidentally spoil myself on the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
So I, got to be excited when Lindsay picked safe, even though she made the wrong mathematical choice, just like Deshaun did. But it happens. But again, maybe it comes back to Jeff waving his hands around. So who knows?
I don't know. Hopefully we'll never see it again. I'm
looking
into
exactly.
my table. I'm trying to mute and move my hand. This is going to be a rough podcast, everyone.
We'll see how much of a voice you have left by the end.
I know.
I'll save all my controversial stuff that you might disagree with till then.
It's going to be terrible. So I bet.
You know what? Okay, you can't use this. I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm thinking by the time we get done, you're going to get to the conclusion. You're going to give your conclusion. Then you're going to be like, oh, David, I can't do predictions. My voice is totally gone now.
That's going to happen.
Nope, too late. I already called it out. You can't do it now.
What if I have some advantage that causes that to change?
Have you seen these? You don't think I have a counter advantage in here somewhere?
That's true. You probably do. You can cancel out my advantage. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So... All right. Well, moving on, now that we're done with math class and science class, we can move on to history, as the Taku Four are making history with their continuing double pagonging.
Yes.
It is down to 4-1-1.
Yeah.
Are the final four literally going to be all Taku?
That's pretty fascinating that I'm feeling like that moment that they pointed out about how strong the Taku Four was. Is more meaningful than at the time everyone was like, oh, why is he saying that? Like, that's silly. Like, don't mention that. And now you're like, oh, I get it. Foreshadowing.
Yeah. Foreshadowing.
Exactly. Look at that. You're doing more math. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I don't want to give away my prediction because I know how much you look forward to those.
Oh, I cheat off of them.
Yeah. I'm going to guess no, because I don't want to give away the whole thing and start questioning, but no, I'm going to guess no, and we'll figure that out when we get there.
All right, we'll get there.
Yeah. Now, I have to say, switching topics again, that I find it amusing that Mike was upset at High for directing everything, but now he has become High. And literally, as I was typing out a tweet about that, Omer said the exact same thing. So, like, Everybody is seeing it except Mike himself.
It is, but this is what happens in Survivor, where you have the person who is the most threatening potentially to win if they make it to the end. And this is something that I talked about last week, was this was the vote against High too soon? And I think this week proved that it was too soon, because then what happened?
At least for Drea.
Drea, well, but because then she became the most threatening. And now Mike is going to be seen as the most, you know, so it's like you're not helping yourself when there, even though there's not that many days left, there is still a lot of game left. Mm-hmm. And you have to be very mindful of where does that then put you in the equation. And Drea even said, as soon as they got back to camp, she realized, I screwed up. I shouldn't have voted out High. Because she realized she had been in everyone's head for a long time about wanting to vote her out. And she was someone people were considering. And now, ta-da, here she is. Alan.
I mean, and we'll talk about that when we get to the rules, obviously.
Sure.
But I mean, it's the same thing we saw on Edge of Extinction, where it was like, okay, all the threats are going to stick together and we're not going to vote each other out. Mm-hmm. And then they start, and just like dominoes, ding, ding,
and
ding,
that's
ding,
it.
Ding.
You're done.
Yeah.
So it is a very interesting thing to watch happen on Survivor. If you do have that core group and you all view each other as incredibly threatening or the possibility of winning, maybe you really should just stick together and then maybe try to take each other out closer to the end. Because I do think that that's what then you just elevate yourself and the light has to move on to somebody else and it starts shining on you instead.
Yeah. Now, for Mike in particular, on top of that issue, he not very long ago was so upset at the idea of breaking his word that was even one of the reasons he was mad at High, because High made him break his word. But then he straight up lied to Drea about their supposed Final Five deal, giving his word.
Yeah.
You's got my word. You know, and he never had any intention of keeping it. It's kind of like he's playing Survivor.
Kind of, right?
Yeah.
Crazy. Well, and again, this is what makes Survivor difficult for so many people, because you do have to do things that are uncomfortable and that you would not normally do in your everyday life. And it's a real struggle while you're out there, because you're like, I have to lie to people, and that's terrible. And it feels awful when you do it, but you have to do it. And then you find yourself in a situation where you might be getting backlash because you did it, but you're like, but what else am I supposed to do? I can't tell you, because if I tell you, that's not going to help me either. So sometimes you're in a no-win situation. But it is interesting for someone like Mike, who was so disturbed by High doing that to him, and then he's now doing the same exact thing. Yes. But yes, he's playing Survivor.
Welcome to the dark side.
Exactly.
Now moving on to another player. Jonathan is hangry.
Oh, yes.
You know, very hangry. I mean, the plight of the poor, big, strong man on Survivor. It's just, it's so rough. It's a sad, sad story. You know, calling other people rude while he sits there and tells them what to do. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sure if I were out there on little sleep and no food, I might lean toward being a little cranky too. I think I hear my wife agreeing with me. But still, part of the game is overcoming the elements.
Yeah. But I do think that the hunger component of the game, I don't recall anyone necessarily being hangry on my season, but I do think that there were more food options available to us than what they are doing this particular season. But I also feel like you don't really fully understand what lack of food does to you until you've experienced it. Mm-hmm. And Drea was referencing that in a lot of her exit press about how you can't think straight anymore because you haven't been eating, you haven't been getting nutrients that you need. And it really does take a toll on you much more than you can ever prepare for. And so I don't know how much more of an effect it would have on someone like Jonathan, who eats 18 eggs for breakfast. I mean, he's taught his body to receive a lot of food, right? And So you do also have to be mindful of that, I think, before you go out, kind of prepping your body for that change, because some people acclimate very well to it. I acclimated exceptionally well to it. I don't know why, but other people on my season didn't. And so I guess it just all depends on your makeup.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, of course, Jonathan thinks the provider is supposed to get all the props. He wants to be appreciated. And Doug Orleans asked me on Twitter, has anyone ever won Survivor because they were the provider, quote unquote? To which I responded, nope. And so then Doug asked, why do they keep doing it? And my answer, because those who do not understand history are doomed to repeat it.
Yes. But I will say there is a great appreciation for the person who is the provider because they're doing the work and we're getting the benefit.
Right.
So that's lovely.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean you're going to win the game. That's
right.
Know.
Oh, for sure. Yes. No, I mean, it's an additional reason to be kept around longer for sure.
Right.
Because you are providing for other people. And it will cause someone to pause, then you can certainly make that a consideration when you're right. thinking about who do you want to vote for.
Right.
And so if they're feeding you, you might be less likely to want to vote them off. However, you might still want to vote them off. And even if they make it to the end, you might not want them to win just because they fed
right.
you. So there's all exactly. of these other factors for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. Okay. So to end this segment before we get to the rules. Let's talk about the end of that tribal council and
yes.
the amount of information that Drea gave out after the final vote was read.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ricard, again on the recap podcast, said that just as you can't pass an idol after you're voted out, you shouldn't be able to pass on information either. I agree. I mean, even though it was fun and entertaining, it was not good for the game. It
yeah.
was, you know, she was able to like throw everybody under the bus, give advice. And technically, I think Ricard mentioned this, when you're voted out, you are on the jury. The jury yes. is not supposed to interact.
And that is true.
So why is she able to do all this?
Well, and you know, that's a very interesting point because just on my season, we had something very similar happen when Brett was voted
oh,
out
yes, yes.
before David. Right. And so he congratulated David for winning $1 million and basically told everybody else they were, stupid or idiots.
Yeah.
yeah. For not voting out David.
Right.
And that had a very large impact on certain people left in the game that you might not have seen, but we all heard about. And I mean, when I say we, I mean, people who are on my season.
Right.
So it does have an effect on the people that are still in the game. For sure.
That's interesting because I was going to say I wouldn't have thought that would have an effect because we saw him saying that even before he was voted. He was saying that for days out there. Like, why are we not
yes.
voting out David?
But the difference is this, is he said it in front of the jury. And then the people who were in the game got to see the people on the jury reacting and agreeing
that
to
is,
what
yes.
he was saying. And so that's so your audience
yes.
is much different at that point. And so you are directly affecting the game because the jury is sitting there when you're saying these things. And suddenly it can completely shift how you think the jury is perceiving you in the game and the
right.
rest of the players in the game. So I think that's a really significant component to consider, and that yeah maybe you should get be allowed to say anything when you're walking out the door like that.
You should or shouldn't. Yeah
I never even really thought about it that way because I think that we've seen players do it in years past, but I don't think we've seen players do it to such an extent like
right.
she did. I mean, she really just ticked everything off her list, and I now reflecting on that, even though in the moment I was like, wow, this is pretty incredible that
yeah.
she's airing everybody's dirty laundry. It's not fair to the people who are still in the game because nobody knew that Omar did that to her.
Right.
Only she knew. She could have told the jury, though, which there's that component as well.
There is.
She could certainly share it with the jury.
But she was telling the players in the game, basically, don't
right.
trust Omar.
Right. So that's directly affecting the game.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I was going to say, I don't know how you enforce it, but, you know, like anything else with threats, you know, like, don't do this or else.
Well, and Jeff does like to threaten people.
Yes. Yes. Like in your season, as we heard Adam recount, he threatened to kick all of you in the jury back, kick your asses back to Big Brother. So,
yeah, he was not very happy with some of us at one point.
Yeah.
But yeah. So but also, there is a very real ability to control players in the game if there is a veiled threat like that. I mean, you're talking about a game for $1 million, which that is what Jeff reminded us of. He basically told us, you're not going to F with my game for $1 million. I mean, he was very frustrated and he rightfully so, because it is a game for $1 million. Like, these are huge stakes.
No, not to him. He was at the end of this, tribal council. He was like, oh, remember, it is just a game.
I know, but in his mind,
he's become more
$1 million. Right? But for everyone who's there,
I know. Yeah.
Oh, come on. Right. So, yeah. So I do think that there would be an effect if you told players you cannot say anything about what happened in the game when you're walking out. I think they would listen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is a fine line. Like, you know, even someone walking out and saying, oh, nice lie. Well, is that saying something that they shouldn't, or, you know, good play, or you got me, or where it's a fuzzy line.
I think very fuzzy.
Drea clearly went past the fuzz, but there are some things that would be fuzzier. Again, I thought it was, you know, her exit was very fun in terms of how she handled it.
Yes.
But yeah, there is this question that we have to address.
That's very fascinating. I think that is a really interesting point.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, we've covered a lot of ground here. Do you have anything else that we're not going to hit in the rules?
Well, I think we're going to hit all of the things I want to complain about in the rules. So,
complain? We would never complain. I don't know what you're talking
about.
Well, before we move on to see how Drea did, we just need to mention that the rules we're about to discuss come in much more I'm not even drinking today. That was last time. Much more colorful version, which is poster form. So you can go to robhasawebsite.com/yxlostfeed, scroll down to the poster as I just did, and click on it. In addition to the poster, we have other ways you can get the rules, so you can always have them with you in t-shirt form and in mug form and in sweatshirt form. There's the poster version. There's the checklist version. All of these are available at robhasawebsite.com/yxlostfeed.
And you should definitely buy it all.
Yes. Yes. As we were discussing with someone on Twitter, this way, even during an off season, you can have us nearby.
Yes. And you can study up on the rules.
That's right. Now we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back. We're back. So let's get back to the show. So Drea said on the show that she wanted to play against the best at the end. She said in interviews that she wanted to go out and take every chance she could. And she did. Drea played hard. She picked up advantages and used them to make allies. At some point, did it all become too much? Did she draw too much attention to herself? Did the others just not share her feelings and opinions about going against the best in the final three? It's time to figure out why Drea lost. We're going to start with the seventh rule this week because it covers idols.
Because look at your neck.
Yes. And game mechanics. And so, yes, idols and advantages. Did Drea have any of those? Any at all?
Let me think about this for a minute.
Oh, wait, that's right. She said she had everything. Yes. She said in the first episode she wanted as many advantages as she could get. And she certainly lived up to that, starting with the amulet right out of the gate. But the thing about having that full bag of tricks is that a player still needs to know when and how to use them. A few episodes ago, she essentially cited to this rule and rule six in a single quote by referencing how she needed to know how to use her treasure chest of items so she wouldn't be seen as too much of a threat.
Yeah. But I think that, you can't avoid it when you find yourself in possession of so many things for two reasons. Like, one, there's this idea like, I'm not going to tell anyone, right? You don't want to tell anyone what you have in your bag of tricks because you don't want people to know that you have it, because then what happens? You could be seen as a potential threat because you have too many goodies in your bag, right? But then there's this other component where you feel the need to tell somebody because you think it's going to gain you favor with that person. And you can trust me. I'm sharing information with you. We can play the game together. And you think that that person is going to take that information and respond to it the way that you would want them to respond to it. And, oh, I've gained this person's trust, and therefore I will trust them too. And I won't tell anyone. But guess what? Now that person wants to tell somebody too, because you can't keep a secret when you're on Survivor.
They told two friends, and they told two friends.
It's like, yeah. The only way that that can happen is if you just don't tell anyone, which is incredibly hard because there is this desire to want to use information as power, right? But gosh, sometimes that power comes from not saying anything.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, she definitely fell into the camp of being compelled to tell someone about them. Even, you know, so back in episode two, she revealed she had the extra vote in order to try to start a women's alliance. But instead, it led to Swathi thinking of her as a threat and trying to target her. And, you know, now Drea told Dalton Ross that she did it because people were already talking like they knew she had something. So she figured it wasn't really a big revelation. And I have to say, Zach did say in his interviews that she told a pretty bad story about her trip to Shipwheel Island.
Right.
So they figured she had something. But there's a difference between people maybe suspecting you and you confirming every detail.
Right.
And yes, Drea was obviously safe after that even. But I was hoping that there was a lesson learned about not sharing information.
Yeah.
But then right after that, or at least shortly after that, she went idol hunting with Romeo. So, of course, he knew about it when she found it. Eventually, almost everyone knew, because having to say the stupid phrase, that part wasn't her fault.
Right.
But it just led all the way to telling Omer about knowledge is power.
Yes. And that really was powerful, right? Knowledge was power, because that ended it for her.
Yeah. I mean, she could have just taken the idol from Mike. I presume, based on what she said, she would have played it at that point. Mike would have likely been sent packing. But she said that she saw Omer looking like he was panicking, and she thought that she had convinced him that they needed to stick together and he needed her to stick around for his game.
Right. But here's the thing. She didn't need to tell him to make any of that happen.
Right.
She could have just still continued to play. And then take the idol from Mike, save herself, vote out Mike, because and she could have still used both of her votes if she wanted to. And just to maybe assure that he was going to be the one going home, because clearly other people voted for Mike as well. And then there you are. So she didn't have to do that in order to solidify anything with Omer. He was already solid with her.
Right.
And they were already planning on going to the end together, even though they had just voted out high. So there was really no reason for her to do that, because she had the ability to just make it all okay herself.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. You know, this. I don't know. I think it's just the urge to share.
I think so, too, because she did say that she felt very close to him because they had connected on a very personal level. And again, this game has a tendency to make you feel different things and different ways. And if you're looking for someone to kind of be your solid number one, and this is someone, you ride or die, you hear all these terms and that's what you're looking for. But sometimes you just have to think about yourself and be selfish, because this is a game for $1 million. And you have to think about, okay, if I don't tell him this, what can I tell him after? Because I will going back to camp and he might be frustrated with me. And then I can explain to him what my thoughts and beliefs were. Right. And then also at that point in time, you would have seen what the votes were. So she would have known how many people voted for her and how many people voted for Mike. And that would have given her some intel as well as to where does Omar stand, you know, because who did he vote for?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it's. Yeah, that was rough. Now, you know, as far as the other advantages, I do think she used them as well as she could in terms of other ways. So, for example, she used the fact that she and the other idol holders knew about each other and she and the other amulet holders knew about each other.
Right.
So, you know, she and Mike agreed to let each other know if the other's name came up. And she made the same deal with High and Lindsay. Now, I was going to make a joke about how worthless that obviously was, considering they voted out High and then voted out her back to back. But I do think it actually helped bond them at the merge and bring the majority alliance together. So even though they went against each other over the past couple weeks, it may have helped them get to that point.
Right. Now, one of the things she mentioned, too, in her exit press, which I thought was interesting, was could she have used the knowledge is power to steal the amulet from, is it Lindsay that?
Yes.
Yeah, from Lindsay and then turn it into an idol.
And she didn't even think about it. She said in an interview, you know.
Right,
I don't know.
I'm curious.
I don't know.
I
think Jeff would let it happen.
Yeah.
Because he would have thought it was immensely cool. So I think he would have let it happen.
So then she could have stolen it, and then all of a sudden it becomes an idol.
Right. So
fascinating.
Yeah. But I still think in that case, it would be better for her to take it from Mike.
Oh, I don't disagree. I don't disagree at all.
Because Lindsay was immune. So, right. You know, it makes more sense to take it from Mike and vote Mike out.
Right.
So as far as playing her own idol, you know, a couple weeks ago, she definitely did the right thing there because Jonathan's master plan was to vote her out. Part of it was her recognizing the red flag of him talking about allegedly targeting Marianne to get rid of the idol, when, of course, she knew her own idol was public knowledge. So it's kind of like, what? Which, of course, you know, was part of the reason Lindsay was telling Jonathan it was a stupid plan. But so, yeah, she knew going in she was the target. Yeah. And she played her idol. So well done for her on that one.
Well, and listen, the thing, too, I mean, I'm certainly not trying to give her guff for how she utilized any of these things, because for one, a lot of this is new, right? I mean, these are all new things that people have not had time to really process and think about and try to understand. And two, they come with way too many rules. I mean, that piece of paper she was reading for the knowledge.
Never say the words way too many rules.
Okay.
On this podcast.
I won't say that. Too many words.
Yes.
As far as how to use this thing. I mean, to me, if it looks like it's a paragraph, that's too much. It shouldn't be that way. This is Survivor. There shouldn't be all of these other things and computations and if thens or that and sheep on, I don't know, whatever it is. Astroturf, whatever. Yeah. I mean, like bunnies and mailboxes, like, come on. Like if there's too many things that are connected to this idol or this amulet or this, you know, advantage, it detracts from the actual game. It takes away from people's ability to just play the game, the social component that we all love. And I know I've complained about this before. She certainly, I think, did with it what she thought was best, considering all of those things, because again, this is all new. But in hindsight, we all do this. I mean, I did the same thing after I left. I was like, oh, I should have done something with my legacy advantage and maybe I could have gotten someone to flip. But when you're having those thoughts, it's after you've eaten and slept and revisited everything in your brain. You have a much different process that you're going through. Yeah. So I think it's a lot to thrust upon players when there are so many advantages that can affect the outcome of the game.
Right. All right. Well, we can move into the first rule and get kind of back on normal track here. And because despite the fact that Drea had collected, you know, her array of armaments, the most important rule is still the scheme and plot. You could have all the advantages in the world, but it won't matter if you don't have a good strategy alongside her. Generally, I think Drea did have a good strategy, and we'll discuss some of her earlier game moves in a moment. But, you know, again, I'm taken back to what we just discussed a little bit, why she told Omer about the knowledge is power advantage, because that's part strategy. And
right.
Yeah, you know, to go back to what you had said, we didn't see how the two of them were tight. We heard about it from Hai last week on interviews. And we even discussed last week how frustrating it is when something like this happens, where the show doesn't tell us anything about a close relationship. I guess we know why now, because Omer was just going to dump her on the side of the road anyway, after dumping Hai on the side of the road.
Right.
But yeah, Drea expanded in interviews how close she was to Omer. And she said he was the first person she had a one-on-one conversation with about the topics that came up in the Double Tribal Council. That conversation was emotional enough that she thought she had connected with him on another level, but he always kept it game. She just thought it was a close enough relationship to tell him about that plan.
Well, and you know, I want to jump in here too, because I do think that this is a lot of credit to Omer for his ability to play the game that he's playing in a way that she didn't think he was going to tell. And he's been telling everybody's stuff to everybody. I mean, he is definitely not keeping people's secrets. He's making things up that aren't true in order to turn people on each other. Mm-hmm. He's so stealthy and so good at it that it just adds another level to why she probably thought she could tell him, because she had no reason to suspect that he would do otherwise, even though he immediately took that information and went, what can I do with this? So, you know, it's a talent to be able to pull that off as long as he's been doing that in this game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we'll end up talking about that sometime within the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's doing a great job of pulling the wool over everyone's eyes. And the thing is, she just saw and helped him orchestrate the vote out of their supposed final three partner. And she had to know that Hai seemed, you know, close to them. Right. And also that Mike seems close to Omer. Right. So if you're not sure, or even, I guess, even if you are sure, I am certain that I am this close to him, why tell him?
Right. You know, and here's my little tidbit for future Survivor players. If you are so excited and you need to tell somebody, just tell one of the producers when you're sitting down talking to them and you're like one-on-one, be like, guess what I'm going to do? This is going to be so exciting, because then you can at least get it off of your chest. You can tell someone. You don't have that dying urge to just be like, oh my gosh, I have to tell somebody something. And just go talk to them. Go find them. Be like, I really need to talk to you. Maybe that'll make you feel better.
Yeah. Now, for Drea, we did start kind of at the end of her game for this rule. But if we go back to the beginning, we see she'd been making solid allies the whole way through. At the start, she and Romeo were super tight, controlling the tribe, using Roxroy as part of their alliance, though later she became super tight with him and hid that so nobody knew. Romeo even talked about Drea proving how important it is to have that one person you can trust in the game. In fact, going back to what Swathi had said, she told Rob one reason she wanted to vote Drea out was she didn't like how Drea had too much control and power. So
yeah, and she did it in such a calm,
and
just like natural way. It was incredible to see her creating these bonds and these relationships, because it was just kind of matter of fact. And she did say, she's like, the same way I am in life is the way I was out there, which is it's a testament to anyone who wants to play this game and thinks that they need to be something they're not. She really was who she was out there, and it worked. It definitely worked, because people gravitated to her. They wanted to work with her, and it definitely was just a very straight way to play the game. It wasn't underhanded, and it was definitely getting her further in the game and also causing people to think that she was a threat, which we're going to get to.
Yes. So, yeah, in I would say in closing that rule, in addition to her arsenal, she definitely knew how to strategize too.
Yes.
Now, the second rule says not to scheme and plot too much and to keep your scheming secret. We already dealt with a certain aspect of secret.
Yes.
Keeping. But I just mentioned how Swati worried that Drea about Drea because she had too much control and power, which could indicate a potential violation of this rule. But Swati was the one sent packing, so it clearly wasn't a big problem at that specific point.
Right. And I think that that goes back to just her ability to manage the information and the people who she's speaking to and the conversations that she's having. She certainly knew everything that seemed to be going on. And she talked about how she knew that her name was being brought up time and time again. And she was always able to kind of maneuver through that and make people think something else or change their mind. So she was clearly listening and paying attention. As she said, she observed, and she certainly did that very well. But yes, I mean, unfortunately, you know, sometimes you just gotta not share your secrets.
Yes. Yes. Now, as far as being overly schemey, I can't think of any other instances where people were thinking Drea was that way. She worried about that, but I don't remember, or she worried about other people being like that, but I don't remember any fingers being pointed back at her.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either.
Okay. So we can move to the third rule, which tells players to be flexible. How do you think Drea did here?
Oh, she was great. I think Romeo is the perfect example of, of how she was so good at this.
Are you reading my notes again?
Maybe that's it. Yeah, because she was realizing very quickly.
Anti-note reading advantage here. Hold on.
There's so many advantages. Yeah, I mean, I think that she said that they were super close and he was her number one. They were, you know, definitely wanting to play the game together. And then once they got to the merge, all of a sudden she realized, wait a second, what is he doing? Like, I'm now doing all of the work. He's not doing anything. And he's separating himself from the tribe. He's becoming paranoid. And she knew that that wasn't going to be beneficial for her game. So she was like, I'm out. Like, we're done. So I really do think that she was, again, very mindful of what was happening in the game and wanting to make sure that she was keeping herself integrated with whatever group had the most control. And he was not part of that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, another example with someone from her original tribe is right down to the tribal council where Tori was voted out. Drea was open to working with her and she tried, but Tori kept lying to her. And she's like, oh, my gosh, I want to work with you. And you're still lying to me.
Yes.
You know, and so, yeah, she tried. She did her best. But, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work. And then, you know, moving, you know, fast forward to High. He was part of her final three. But of course, she changed her mind in that regard.
That's true, too.
Mm-hmm. You know, she realized she couldn't beat him. So she did what she felt she needed to do in terms of getting rid of him.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, then we'll move to the fourth rule, which tells players not to let their emotions control them. One of the funniest scenes from this week's episode, which I might have already made a TikTok about.
Shocking.
Was Drea showing how frustrated she was with Romeo by just saying, ah, ah, or like three times. But she didn't allow that particular frustration to control anything. She just let it out in her confessional.
Yes, which is the way that you should do that. And I also do think that if we go back to one of the tribal councils when she was talking with Marianne about being in the wrong book and not even on, like, we're not even in the right section. We're not even in the same library. That whole, and it was so great because she was making her point. It was kind of funny, and it wasn't like it didn't come across as being like mean, but it was, but her point was clearly being made. And so I really like appreciate again how she was so honest and would just say things, but she would say them in a way that you would go like, oh yeah, no, that makes sense. I get that. That's kind of funny. Like that's an interesting way to put it or whatever. And so that is again, a skill, I think, when it comes to Survivor, because you want to say things sometimes, but you don't want to offend someone and you don't want to make someone upset with you because obviously, you know, this is again, a game for $1 million and you want to be able to play with people. And she certainly had a way of of doing that, of saying mm-hmm. how she felt about things in a very honest and open way, but in a way that I think made other people think, oh, that's a good point. And
I hate to say this, so don't be offended. I think you're jumping ahead a little bit to rule five.
Oh,
but,
my gosh. So sorry.
See, I offended you. I did not successfully pretend to be nice. But to close out the fourth rule first, you know, she did say, like you said, she was blunt. She was emotional. She was hungry. And, you know, we'll get to that. And you already started to. But I think the key here is that no matter how hungry or emotional she was feeling, she wasn't voting based on those factors.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, it could be argued that her decision to tell Omer about knowledge is power stemmed from an emotional feeling of closeness. But we've pretty much tread that ground already. So we don't need to rehash it. So now we move to the fifth rule about players needing to pretend to be nice and play the social game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you just talked about how Drea, you know, one, she was blunt and she admitted to being blunt. And yeah, she made her opinions known from the beginning. You know, I mean, going all the way back to when Tori disappeared looking for an idol and we saw the look on Drea's face, you know,
mm-hmm.
and the Marianne thing that you mentioned, or, you know, but even with that bluntness, did you have anything to add to what you were saying? Since I tried to cut you off then.
Oh, no, that's okay. No, I really do think that she just really came across as someone who you would want to play this game with. And I remember listening to her preseason and really just being impressed with her.
You almost made her your winner pick.
I really was. I would have
been
really
drinking wine a week later.
I was definitely leaning very heavily towards picking her as my winner pick because there's something about the way in which she just presents herself and she just makes you want to connect and ask her questions and talk with her. And I think it stems from that. Just she is so blunt. I mean, when I just think of the scene when that lovely moment happened with the hourglass that, you know, we all love so much. And she was the one that just looked at everyone and said, well, what if they can just switch it and we don't have immunity anymore? And they do. And it was just so matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
But in the way that she presented it, I mean, everyone must have been like, what? Like, it was just one of those moments where she was just so matter of fact with the way that she would say so many things, but it would make people think. And so that's the kind of person you want to play Survivor with because she's clearly thinking ahead all of the time. And she's doing it in a way that makes you want to connect with her. So there's definitely she's got a gift when I think it comes with connecting with people. And so it was very impressive to watch. And you see that it comes across in her interviews as well.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that threw me off a bit in this episode was how much more open and frankly joyous she seemed to be.
Yes, she seemed very joyous. That's true.
Yeah, whether it was the confessional I mentioned earlier or the sheer playfulness that came out after she mm-hmm. was voted out. I really enjoyed all of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad Mike Bloom asked her about that because she told him she was always like that at camp. And we were only shown her serious side.
Yeah.
I mean, almost all the time she looked so serious and that we saw. And she said she's a logical person, but she got along with everyone and had a lot of fun from start to finish.
Yeah.
And yeah, that finish. I mean, really stealing the line from Jeff. Helping him, telling him to stop snuffing your torch, then stealing the line. Then, I mean, all of that. I just wish production had shown us more of the fun loving side of her.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree.
Now, on the flip side of fun loving, I do think we need to bring up in relation to this rule was the bickering between her and Jonathan over the fishing net. We did mention it a little bit earlier. We saw them get upset at each other as he basically directed her rather than, you know, actually helping. It never entered my mind that that could have been a contributing factor to her getting voted out. But I do think it's good to address because someone else might think it was. I mean, it was on the show and then she gets voted out. So sometimes people are like, oh, that was a reason. But Drea said in interviews that after all of that, Lindsay mentioned to her that Jonathan wasn't happy. So she went directly to him and addressed it, saying, you know, I apologize if I hurt your feelings, but you're Aquaman. You're literally the fisherman. I'm starving. I need you to show me what to do. Maybe I said it the wrong way, but you haven't eaten and I haven't eaten.
Mm-hmm.
And when that was done, he apologized back to her. They hugged. And that was that. And to me, it just shows how much she understood how to handle the social aspects of the game. Because so many people would have been like, well, screw him. He was just a jerk. I don't need to apologize to him.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, and this goes back to what we were talking about before, just her ability to kind of read the room and understand what's happening and diffusing the situation before it even becomes a situation is a really incredible thing for someone who's playing this game to know how to do, because that could have turned into something and it wasn't. And she made sure that it wasn't. And I just think that that ability that she had carried out throughout the game, because all of her interactions were just, it was so in tune with what was happening with the other person.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we can move to the sixth rule, which warns against being too much of a threat. And too much of a threat. This
what's on your neck?
Yeah. Yeah. threat vantages. Now, this was something that was definitely telegraphed in this episode. Drea said in interviews that her name was always out there as a possible target. And we certainly heard about it this week. I didn't even catch all the mentions, but the ones I got, Jonathan said if Drea makes it to Final Three, she's going to win. Mm-hmm. And she had too big of a resume. Marianne said she'd win in a Final Three. Mike called her the biggest threat he was not aligned with. Yeah. Omer said that she was a really strong contender to win at the end. And for her part, Drea said in interviews that she was 100% aware of what other people thought. And that's why she said she was trying to let other people shine. I guess my question is, did she?
Well, I think that this is an interesting question, because she is someone who is, she's a self-made entrepreneur. She has her own business. Right. This is someone who definitely pushes in life. And so when you are then in a game like Survivor, I think it's really hard for someone like that to take a backseat and not just appear to be in charge, whether or not you're even trying to be. It's a natural thing that she just possesses. And so her idea of taking a backseat, well, she talked about the peanut butter and jelly challenge and how she wanted to sit out. And part of the reason she wanted to is because she's like, there might be an advantage over there. And so I'm going to go get it. And so rather than let somebody else get the advantage, she wanted to get it. So, you know, it's one of those things where if you want somebody else to shine, you need to give someone else a chance to do so. Right. Mm-hmm. And so this idea of her letting other people shine, and she offered to do the first part of the challenge, right? And like the first episode, if I remember, the one that ended up, you know, so, I mean, it's like, so you, there are moments where you might just have to step back and say, you know what, even though I think there's something good over here, I'm going to let somebody else go over there because I don't want one more thing to be lopped on top of me because I'm already presenting myself in this way. And now I'm going to be myself and have a neck full of advantages.
Yeah. I mean, she told Mike Bloom, I feel like a lot of the people in this season are super fans, but they were afraid to be hard players. I wanted to come out there and take every chance that I could, get every advantage that I could, and not play a goat game. To me, that's the opposite of trying to let other people shine and reduce your threat level. Taking every chance, getting every advantage, that's showing what a big threat you can be. There's a reason others don't want to be seen as playing hard, because those people get voted out. And she
at Omer. He's a perfect example.
Right. He's in the back.
Right.
She even said that was why she joined in the vote against High, because he was in that same position. So she did it to High, and then it just happened to her. You know, the thing is, I guess if everybody had played hard like she wanted, she could have been on a more even playing field. But it's kind of a variant on the prisoner's dilemma. If everyone else isn't doing it, you don't want to be the only one, because then you get hurt by it.
Right. Exactly.
And in this case, like everybody else was holding back. You know, now we might not think Jonathan was really holding back, but he keeps talking about how in his mind, at least, he was holding back.
Mm-hmm.
Drea was right out there in front leading the charge.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, we can go to Appendix A, which is about the tribe keeping their end goals in mind when voting. And we talk about voting out the weak, then the strong, then the weak, then the strong. And this kind of continues the discussion we were just having from the sixth rule, because as things are getting down to the wire, players are looking around and realizing who they want to be up against. And more importantly, who they don't want to face at the end.
Right. Right.
For her part, Drea said she wanted to go against those who were also there to play hard for the $1 million. I don't think it really ended up mattering, but Drea, no, you don't want to do that. That is absolutely not what you want to do. You want the strong people playing hard to get the heck out of there.
Right. But at the right time.
Well, yes, yes. But I mean, this is one reason the rest of the tribe made the correct decision in voting Drea out as one of the strongest people there.
Right. So this is a very important vote. And that's why it frustrates me that they did the do or die at this point in the game, too. Like, that's very, very aggravating.
Oh, yeah. They always pick the worst times to do twists. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, worst time is any time. But they pick the especially worst times.
Good point.
Yeah. Now we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back. We're back. So let's get back to the show. All right. Well, I think it's about time to wrap things up. So what are your final thoughts?
I'm not going to say much because I don't want to cough, but I will say that one of the things that Drea said prior to starting the season, that she was there for the ultimate challenge. And I think that speaks volumes of what we saw of Drea. She really did take on every challenge that was presented. And she really did come into this game wanting to win and wanting it all. And we saw her get it all, right? It's on your neck. There's the proof. She had every advantage that you could possibly have in this game. She attempted to utilize them as best as she could. But unfortunately, sometimes when you have so much, you tend to lose sight of having not enough, right? If she didn't have all of these things, right? I'm wondering if maybe she didn't have all of these things, she would have been less inclined to find herself in the position she's in, because you don't need to share that information because you don't have that information to share. And then maybe you wouldn't be seen as so much of a threat because you don't have all of these extra advantages and things in your bag and in your pocket and things that take the already threatening person and elevate them to a much higher threatening level because there's these added components to it. I think she did an incredible job socially in the game. She clearly made connections with people and they clearly wanted to work with her. I think that perhaps the vote against High was kind of her downfall because she really needed High to help keep her in the game. And instead she lost High and she realized after that vote, she shouldn't have done that. And again, I think that just goes back to having enough knowledge base of what's happening in the game, which she had a lot of, but she realized it too late. And we saw the same thing happen again this week when she decided to share with Omar and then realized that was a mistake. And so sometimes knowledge is not power when you share it. And so unfortunately for Drea, we saw her leave in a joyous moment, sharing a lot of information, which now I'm questioning whether or not that should be allowed. So thank you for that. So I think she's great. And I think you might have forgotten that she's a goop girl. I'm just going to throw
I didn't forget. But, you know, I can put these things aside.
All right. Okay, good.
The game. All right. So Drea came in with the intention of playing hard. And she did. She gathered all her weapons. She made allies. She planned her way to the end. The main problem was that everyone else saw her gathering all those weapons and planning her way to the end. And they knew if she got there, she would beat them. She might have wanted to go to Final Three with strong players, but that was definitely not what everybody else was thinking. Why take a likable, strong, strategic person to the end when you could take someone who's been viewed by everyone as just sitting around and eating the rice while doing nothing else? Drea knew she was a threat and that everyone was going to be targeting her. But what she didn't know was that her very close bond with Omar was closer for her than it was for him. and he was using it on more of a game level. I know on Survivor, everybody is human and they can get close, but Drea talked about wanting people to play hard and, you know, turning on someone who thinks you're super close to them. That is playing pretty hard. Mm-hmm. By telling Omer about knowledge is power, she gave him the knowledge to take away her power. And he did just that. Recall what Liana said on Twitter last year. If everyone has the knowledge, you don't got the power.
Exactly.
Omer used the knowledge she gave him to seize the power as well. Drea was going to be the target anyway. But if she just hadn't trusted him with this one piece of information, she could have made it past at least this tribal council. And then who knows? But she got into this position by becoming a huge threat to begin with. So even if she had succeeded, it might have only delayed the inevitable by one vote. We don't know. As I said, Drea played the game hard and she did a great job in many ways. But too many players who excel like that also end up painting a big red target on themselves and not just on their hand. Drea did exactly that, and everyone else knew that target had to be knocked out. And that is why Drea lost. So, before we get to predictions and your voice suddenly mysteriously goes away.
I can't. Mm-hmm.
Let me remind everyone that the rules we just discussed are available in poster form and t-shirt form and other t-shirt form.
So many forms.
Mug form, you name it, it's there. Again, just go to robhasawebsite.com/yxlostfeed.
Yes.
So predictions. I'll go first so your voice can still recover. You know, drink something just to make sure.
I've been drinking my water the whole time.
I know. So next week, there are so many things at play. Six players remaining. Three are immune. At least. Marianne has an idol.
Mm-hmm.
Lindsay's amulet became an idol. Omer.
Yes.
Has Mike's idol. And a fourth could win immunity. It might literally be a choice between two people. I mean, it's either that or someone gets fooled into thinking they don't need to play their idol on the last time you can do so.
Well, wait, time out. Right. Let me ask you a quick question. Mm-hmm. Did, I know Mike mentioned this. Is he planning on getting the idol back from Omer?
I think he's planning on it, but it's up to Omer what he does, because I think Omer will give Mike the idol back. I think that he feels he's in a safe enough position. Plus, remember, Omer, there's one thing Omer doesn't know in this game. That's Marianne's idol.
Oh, that's true, too.
So
hasn't told anybody.
Right.
Smart. So
he thinks at least three people will be vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
if not more. So, yeah, it's going to be Idol-geddon.
I hate it. I already hate it.
Yeah. Now, we both predicted Romeo to go this week.
Mm-hmm.
I think at this point, as I kind of hinted at in my conclusion there, I think he's a shoo-in for the jury, unless something weird happens this week. I do believe Omer has enough of a stranglehold on the game still, even with Drea revealing what he did. I still think he'll remain safe. I think Jonathan needs to either win immunity or they're going to send him packing. I think at this point, well, there's not many choices. It's Omer and whoever loses immunity besides Omer. If Omer gives the idol back to Mike, which I believe he'll do. So, I mean, if Jonathan loses and they want to take Romeo to the final three, well, then you get rid of Jonathan. So my prediction. I'm predicting Jonathan goes next week.
See, that's fascinating. Because I did forget that there are. Do you really think Omer's going to give it back to him?
I really do. I think he values the social game more than anything else.
That's interesting.
I think he will lose a lot of brownie points with the jury if Mike gets in there and says, Omer saved me by, you know, having me hand him the idol, but then he didn't give it back to me and I got voted out. I mean, remember how unhappy people were with Ty in his season when he did that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, oh God. So I guess it has to be Jonathan then.
Almost.
Yeah. I mean,
the other possibility is it ends up being Omer.
Yeah.
Shock if he gives the idol back and then he gets voted out.
That would be terrible. That would definitely be terrible. But I mean, I guess Romeo would be. But why would they not vote out Romeo?
Because he's, I mean, sorry to use the word Romeo, but he is an incredible final three goat.
Well, and I understand that. But if I'm looking at the other people and how close they, you know, with the Taku four, mm-hmm. like, why would they now all of a sudden turn on each other and not just take out Romeo?
Because I mean, Lindsay's been talking about getting rid of Jonathan for a while now. I know it's only been talk.
Right.
I don't know. And this is why, going back to the beginning of the podcast, or earlier in the podcast anyway, this is why I don't think the Taku 4 will be the final four. I think they're going to get rid. I mean, maybe I'll be wrong. But
no, but I think it makes sense. I think it definitely makes sense because I forgot that there's three idols now and only six people. And so there will only be two. But here's the other thing. What if one of the people that has an idol wins immunity?
Right. There's two to three. Although right. if I'm someone who has an idol and I win immunity, I may give the idol to someone else that I want to make sure stays safe.
Right. So,
you know, maybe Omer says I'll hold on to the idol and let's see who wins immunity.
Man, I don't want to pick. Yeah. I don't want to pick. I really don't want
to
pick.
Well, you have to. You've already given away that your voice isn't gone yet.
I know. And I need to cough again.
Uh-oh. So let me, I don't have anything. I'll do a song and dance here while.
I'm back. Oh, okay. So, God, I'm just going to say Romeo.
Okay. Just to be different.
Well, because I just feel like. It just seems, I don't know, just feel like it makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, as we wrap up, I want to encourage people to check out the RHAP patron program at robhaswebsite.com/patron. You can get access to our weekly Survivor Academy podcast, the Patron 5 for 5, and more. And when Rob isn't talking directly to everyone, there are Facebook groups and Discord to keep you occupied with a great community of people, including both of us.
That's right.
Where you can talk about Survivor, Big Brother, life in general. And you get first dibs to tickets to live events like the one last week in New York that was sold out to patrons. You know, there was no chance for anyone else.
Like immediately.
Yeah. You can support shows like ours and everything on the network by becoming a patron at robhaswebsite.com/patron or click on the link at robhaswebsite.com/YXLostFeed, your home for everything. And once you get to the Facebook groups, make sure to say hello.
And you should also say hello to us on Twitter. I am at JessicaLewis89 and David is at David Bloomberg. You should certainly follow us both so you can get both sides of the story and all of the incredible live tweets throughout the show itself and then throughout the week and all the TikToks as well that David Bloomberg likes to post. So his TikTok is at David_Bloomberg. So you should definitely follow him there too. Again, I am at JessicaLewis89. He's at David Bloomberg. And also follow him on TikTok as well.
Yes. And Instagram, I am david.e.bloomberg if for some reason you don't want to use Twitter or TikTok.
And I'm at JessicaLewis6789 if you're really interested in Instagram as well. There's so many names.
Yes. Everyone should make sure you're subscribed to all of the RHAP Survivor podcasts by going, again, to our YX Lost feed page. You'll find great content like the Know-It-Alls, the Stock Watch, Survivor International, the B&B, the Recap Podcasts, the Feedback Podcasts. You name it, it's there. All your Survivor needs are there. And then some, probably.
Yes. And can I do thank yous then?
Yes.
All right. So I'm going to thank Scott St. Pierre for all of the incredible editing that he does, not only for the Why Blank Loss podcast, but all of the podcasts on RHAP. So thank you so much, Scott, for all of the work that you do in the wee morning hours. And it's crazy when you're actually posting these things. So thank you so much. And thank you to Will from America for the theme song that you've created for Why Blank Loss. It's incredibly catchy. We love it. Thank you so much for doing that for us as well.
Yes.
And thank you, David. Although not thank you for playing your pony.
Pony advantage,
because this was not fun. So I apologize to all the listeners for having to hear my
a pony nullifier. No, sorry. You're just going to have to be like that going forward.
That's terrible.
I believe it expires in several days, though.
So I hope it does, because this is terrible. Yeah. Terrible.
So thank you for toughing it out with us here. I actually think when you listen back to it, you'll find that it was, it sounded pretty good.
Oh, that's good, because in my head, this is so bad.
So, thank you again, and everyone else, and you, of course, too. We will see you again right here next week. Bye.
Bye.
Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why blank lost. And this is why blank lost. Oh, baby.